Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Oriole Will.
Just want to say thank you for our listeners to allowing us into your homes on this day before Christmas, Christmas Eve, or another one we call it, Festivus. So, yes, thank you for having us in your homes to celebrate as we approach the end of this year.
Yeah, and we got grievances with all of you, and you will hear it. All right, you know who you are. I'm just joking. Also, here's Tellius Tyler, who is the reason we're talking about Festivus.
Yes, I have a house full of people waiting for the Feats of Strength to begin downstairs, so we're going to have a shorter episode for you guys. But you understand. I mean, I'm sure you're all airing your grievances as we speak.
Yeah, it was my dad's birthday today, so my mom had a card that mentioned all her flaws, and dad was like, yep, nah, yeah, definitely, amen. I'm like, ooh! It's getting spicy in here tonight. All right. But we're going to do a shorter episode because I was late. I was watching Matrix. It happens. And Tyler's got his family thing. So we're going to skip what have you been playing and go right into the news. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And there's only a few pieces of news I also want to touch on. One of them is very personal to me. And that is, as of right now, there's apparently no plans for a sequel to Neo: The World Ends With You. Why? I don't care that it's been, you know, 14 years since the first World Ends With You game. I don't want to wait another 14. All right. And okay, oh, but underperformed Todd. Screw that. I don't care.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of a shame to hear like there's no plans for the World Ends With You. I mean, obviously with other breadwinners right now, with Square Enix, with like, I don't know, who knows when we're gonna get with Final Fantasy 7 Part 2, as well as Forspoken, what other Square Enix titles? I'm curious, they're done with Final Fantasy 14, but
Forspoken's yeah, next year. Like I remember X-Play was talking about it recently.
Yeah, yeah, in a few months. But yeah, it's we still have a lot of Square Enix properties, and I guess that series isn't a highlight, unfortunately.
No, I understand. I mean, first off, the original game, as much as it was, you know, fan and critic praised, it was not the biggest seller out there. They ported it everywhere just so they could probably get more people to play it. Like, and even Neo wasn't a Switch exclusive. It was also on the PS4, which I was fine with. So, and they even said that I'm not gonna read the quote, it's really long, but like the one of the producers behind it said, I put everything I could into this game. It's like 14 years of thought and experience into what I wanted this game to be, and so I don't have anything left to give at this time. And so maybe after a few years, they'll come up with a game or another game idea. The potential is there. There were things that were not answered in Neo, so why not? But the big thing was both the writer and the producer said to, if you love this game, which it did, keep voicing your comments. Like, voice them, tell them that you love the game, and you know, you never know what might happen. I was blessed to have a second one, and I'll be talking about how blessed I was a little bit later in the show, but I was just like, I'm glad I got this one. I'm sad it hasn't sold as well as it should. It still can, though. But I understand why they're like, right now we can't focus on it. And that's fine, because they got Final Fantasy 16 and 7 Part 2 and all these other things they're trying out. So I understand. I'm still sad, but I understand. So I will wait my turn. And I will get my game eventually. I will get my game eventually.
You guys have to hold me accountable too, because I need to pick up this game at some point, and I continue to forget about it. When I was putting together my video game wish list for Christmas this year, this one did not make the cut, and I know that I do want it, but I keep forgetting about it.
Hold on, have you played Final Remix of the original?
No.
Okay,
no.
Well, you need to play that one first. You don't. Yeah. I feel you need to. Because you'll fully appreciate what comes in the sequel. So right. I will hold you accountable, Tyler.
I will hold you accountable.
All right. So sticking with Square Enix, and this one is one Tyler will appreciate. Bravely Default 2 finally has become a million seller. I thought we were past this point. I really thought we were past this point. I must have forgotten that it didn't sell as well. Because I mean, I was thinking, you know, the last couple sold well. Octopath Traveler was a big deal. And now, Bravely took them, let's see, it came out in February, right? So, like,
yeah.
10 months?
Yeah, yeah, early in the year.
And remember, this wasn't a Switch exclusive either. It started Switch exclusive and then went to PC. So, we don't know, like, what the divvying up is of the numbers. But between the Switch version, PC version, and physical and digital sales, it has crossed the million seller list at last. So, hooray! Because I know you really like this game, Tyler.
Yes, I did like it quite a bit. It definitely got repetitive, and the story was a little bit messy, and some of the systems were not really refined. It occasionally felt just like a bloated, chunky experience, but I still played it for 120 plus hours and had a great time with it, so I'm glad that it was successful. I loved the first and second games in the series as well, so I'm hoping that Bravely Third comes along. They've said that they have ideas for it, but there's no plans to make it yet. I do expect that we will see a Bravely Third at some point.
Oh, I definitely think so. For another reason, that this is a very much an old school kind of RPG in the good way, and I think there's still, you know, stories to tell with this. I mean, I didn't like as much as you did, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was a very interesting story, and the gameplay mechanics were obviously very special in their own way. This was actually my first Bravely game, so I thought I was interested in trying it out. But yeah, thanks to all of you who did go and buy it, and we'll just have to see what comes next. All right, I thought there was one more thing. I have Pokemon Master Journeys coming in 2022. That's good for me. Oh, Triangle Strategy. Yeah, they released the English translation version of the first character trailer for Triangle Strategy. I hate saying Triangle Strategy. I really...
It really is. It will never get any better.
I know.
Yeah.
And they even say, like, this game will test your convictions, and, like, then that's why it should have been in the name! Anyway. But we got to see the English translation for the Roland Glenbrook trailer, and they revealed one of the key choices that you're gonna have to make in the game. To get allies, someone's going to approach you and say, they will help you, but you have to deal with their illegal spice trade. What is this, Dune? Gods, come on. Get some originality. I don't remember if it was actually spice, but it just sounded good to say illegal spice trade. I don't know why. But and so if you help them, you get allies, but you're kind of, you know, tainting what you're willing to do. But then if you don't go with it, you're going to lose allies, and then you have to go on the run from your enemies, which obviously is a very clear branched path, which is something I think that Triangle Strategy is really going to try and do. Yeah, because in the demo, Tyler, you said that you had the choice between staying by Roland and giving up Roland, and that was two different paths, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, so there's the second one, and that's why I think this is definitely on my most anticipated for 2022, because if just these two choices alone drastically changes your gameplay experience, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
So what else is going to be out there? And with all these characters, I think it's going to be interesting. So.
I'm sure that it'll be a little Fire Emblem Three Houses-y, where you'll visit, like, depending on the path you take, you'll visit the same maps that you'll battle
at different points throughout.
But the loop and the core idea that in between every chapter, or pretty much every chapter, there's a major decision that changes your path, means that this is a massive game with a ton of diversity to experience. So I'm excited to see how all of our experiences with it line up once we finally get our hands on it.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll get more trailers as we get closer. Again, that game comes out on March 4th, so you will go and play this game, and then you will go watch The Batman in theaters. Ha ha ha! Multitasking. I would not recommend playing the game in theaters. I'm just saying. Alright, and now for our main event. Yes, we're already at the main event, ladies and gentlemen. It's the end of the year, more or less. And that means that we need to talk about what the games that came out this year, and of course, what is our game of the year. So we will do this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, so I'll make it short, sweet, and to the point. What games stood out to you the most this year, and what one is your game of the year? Tyler, I'll start with you.
Well, there were a bunch of fantastic games this year. I felt like 2021 was a great year for gaming. But Nintendo probably didn't really have that banner title, that Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, that you kind of think of when you think of game of the year. And because of that, my actual game of the year is Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart for the PlayStation 5.
All right,
now,
fine.
That game is beautiful. It fully next-gen experience made from the ground up for the PS5. There's no PS4 port, so it's a nice taste of what next-generation consoles have to offer. Delightful game. But because this is a Nintendo podcast,
yes,
I will shift back to the Nintendo Game of the Year for me, which is New Pokemon Snap. I had never played the original Pokemon Snap beyond maybe I picked it up once or twice, but I never owned it. And when this game came out, I actually passed on it and prioritized getting some other games and came back to it later. And I'm so glad that I did, because I found it to be an absolutely delightful experience. You can talk about how relaxing it is. There's so many different ways to experience it, though, because while some people like to sit back and chill playing it, I was leaning forward in the gamer pose, constantly looking to try to capture these perfect pictures of every Pokemon, and knowing that if you missed one moment, you were going to have to start the whole ride again, added some intensity to this game. So it's kind of the perfect casual and serious game. The Pokemon animations, as you would expect from a game like this, are incredible. They're so charming. The first thing I think of is Scorbunny, Grookey, and Pichu on the first map. Their friendship and the poses that they strike and how comfortable they get with you the more you visit the area. You can get some adorable shots of those Pokemon, and they're all so fun, and you feel like you understand them on a base level, and they kind of become your friends. And I think that is core to the idea of Pokemon in general, but it's even more impressive that in Pokemon Snap they were able to capture this, considering you're just taking pictures, you're not battling or training or bonding with them. There's still this bond that you connect or that you forge with the world, and it resonates through every area you go to. There's so much diversity. There's so many cool things to see, cool things to hear, cool things to discover. And for me, this was a borderline perfect game, and definitely in my top 10, potentially in my top 5 Switch games.
Yeah, I kind of agree with the sentiments. Is like when that game just came out, is like Todd pretty much said it best. Again, it is just the perfect relaxation game. And speaking as one who actually has grown with the original N64 game, it's just like it was the perfect step. Like it has been so long since the whole N64 days with the polygonal, sharp, just lack of details, and just to see it like jump all the way to the Switch, just how pretty it looks, is just like wow. I mean, and as we discussed it from last week, regarding to how many hours, it's just like, again, I spent so much time just trying to get the perfect shot, getting those high points, doing those side missions. It's like it is a lot of content, even just for a simple photograph game. So as you said, Ty, is just very, just a very hearty piece of content from the Pokemon Company, which, again, I think that probably would later on be referenced to, hopefully, into the Legend Arceus and Soul Dwarf.
Yeah, this game was, I don't think we expected it to be this breathtaking, you know? Like, when I say, it's not just Pokemon Snap, mm-hmm. It's Nii! Pokemon Snap. I love doing that joke because it's like, it's not Pokemon Snap, it's new Pokemon Snap. But like, it felt new. It was so refreshing and beautiful. And I like Tyler said, there's just like, you know, you're trying to get the photos, but you also just came blown away. I love the details of how this felt like a real Pokemon world that you're just taking pictures of and everything. And, you know, the good, bad, and, you know, animals eating other animals element to it. I will never forget the Bonsly skin stuck in the Ariados web, and it's just like lurking there. I'm like, oh yeah, they're dinner. So yeah. You know, but that's real. That's real Pokemon world stuff. We forget that at times. And dang, that game was just so great. And they honestly, much to my surprise, they haven't announced DLC for it. Like I really thought that for sure they would have added like DLC with new islands and more Pokemon species arriving, and they haven't. And that's fine, because that means you get to go and, you know, try to get these shots of the Pokemon that are in the game, and there are a lot. There's over, what they say, like 200. So
yeah, there's over 200.
That's a lot of Pokemon pictures of, and you gotta work at it. And I love that too. And so I haven't played in a while because I've had all these other games to play. But when I am in a mood to go and just relax again, I'll just restart the whole thing from scratch and just experience all this greatness all over again. So yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, Will, how about you?
Well, personally, for me, it has been kind of an interesting take of this year. Like, as I said, new Pokemon Swap is definitely high up there. And of course, naturally, you have other games coming on down the line. And even with Shin Megami Tensei 4, like, not Shin Megami Tensei 5, sorry, is like very quiet, very a high quality game, and a game that I've been expecting for so long. But surprisingly, that is not actually going to be my game of the year. And if you have read our on the Outer Heim website on the site, and this game, I think, is very surprising for me as well. And that is Super Mario Party All-Stars. Firstly, for my, is the game of the year. And I read in my part.
I know,
yeah?
The name is confusing, though.
Yeah, it's Mario Party All-Stars. Superstar.
I forgot. No Super. There's no Super.
No, it is Will. Superstars. It's Superstars.
Superstar. Ah,
how can you call this game of the year if you don't even know the name?
No, because the name, it does, it is.
It's confusing. Kill me.
Yeah, they've changed it. It's just like they took common Mario titles and stuck them together. Like,
okay,
Superstar.
Mario Party, yeah. Superstars.
Yes, right? yes, Mario Party Will. Superstars. Beautiful. Go. Now go.
All right. So Mario Party Superstars is I will consider my game of the year. And as I wrote my paragraph for the article, is just, I think this game is just pretty much the perfect game, especially in what we can all agree upon is it was a very rough year. Like, we thought 2020 was bad, and now here we are in 2021. And the fact that this game came from after Super Mario Party, it is just like, okay, we need something that's online multiplayer, but the best of the highlights of the Mario Party series. And lo and behold, this game came out, and we can finally play online with other people now, with varying results. But yeah, Mario Party Superstars is just like that one game that it feels right. It just simply feels right. And I wrote, there's like an old saying, is basically, nothing heals anxiety better than with a little bit of nostalgia. And of course, we already knew that Nintendo is pretty much king of nostalgia. So just revisiting Mario Party once again, all these familiar boards with a fresh new coat of paint, plus all these minigames that you grew up with, new and old, it's just, yeah, it's just so much fun just to go back to these games again. And especially in regards to local or even online multiplayer co-op, it's just like, being with your right there with your family, with your friends, just more or less messing each other with stealing stars and messing each other in mini games. It's just nothing can replace that feeling of, like, again, that days of Mario Party 64 back on local couch days. And now we can actually do that online just with via strangers. I'm sure it's not as great, but heck, it's probably the next best thing. So yeah, there's really nothing really much to say about it. Mario Party Superstars is just great nostalgia, great fun times, great board games, especially on time when everyone's being so disconnected. So yeah, Nintendo's next great couch experience is just, I think it was perfect for this year. So yeah, Mario Party Superstars was definitely the game for me this year.
I wish that they had more maps. I've said that before. Yeah. But aside from that, I don't have any complaints about Mario Party Superstars. That's what I'm going to do after I finish this podcast. Let's go play with my friends. We are probably going to head to Yoshi's Tropical Island, play some Mario Party Superstars. My only things I don't like besides the boards are the lack of characters. I think there's only 10 playable characters for some reason. In Mario Party, Super Mario Party. See, it is confusing because Super Mario Party is,
right.
And then they add Mario Party, and then Super is the first part of Superstar. The names are confusing. Anyway, but like, unsurprised Diddy Kong isn't in it, Monty Mole. It would be cool if those characters were still playable. But the minigame selection is stupendous. The boards that are here are among the best, I would say. There are certainly no clunkers in the mix. Mm-hmm. So this is just, it's what fans have wanted for Mario Party for so long, right? I mean, we've gotten tired. Nobody ever wanted them to get rid of the traditional board game and have everybody sit in a car and move together.
Right.
That was so weird.
We were all asking them to get rid of that. And this brings it back to its roots, back when Mario Party was at its strongest. So I'm glad to hear that it's Will's game of the year for Nintendo, because I also have loved it very much, and it might even be my second pick.
Yeah, for me, I've honestly, I've had a lot of interesting experiences this year with both first and third party games. But my pick, I know it's going to sound a little left field, all right? My pick for game of the year for the Nintendo Switch is Persona 5. Alright, we all thought this game would never come to the Switch, and then it did, and it was beautiful, and it was... Oh, wait, what? Oh, we didn't get Persona 5 on Switch. Why not?! Alright, seriously, though, you already know my pick. It's Neo: The World Ends With You. Alright, and don't get me wrong, like, new Pokemon Snap could have easily beaten it. Metroid Dread was great, but there were some things that I felt, you know, naturally felt that kind of held it back. Shining Pearl, Brilliant Diamond, they were fine remakes. I liked them more than others, apparently, which is weird. But I think it's because I didn't have to review it this time. I just got to take my time. And of course, Greatest Attorney Chronicles, that was great, even though their Sherlock is terrible. But for me, the reason I love Neo was that it was a sequel that delivered in every possible metric that I wanted. I wanted a story that was as deep as the original, because I still maintain that's one of the best stories told, is with the format that they had. The gameplay was drastically altered for the Switch, and yet it felt very much like World Ends With You. The characters, both new and old, were fantastic. The visual style, I could talk all day about the visual style, the mix of 3D models, the anime manga aesthetic, and cutscenes that were just like, wow, and how beautiful they looked. But it's that total package and how they played everything with the old and the new. You know, now that I think about it, it's a little bit like Matrix Resurrections, except better. Oh, but whoa. So we've all had these games, and there have been plenty over the last several years that, you know, have been teased and wanted and desired for so long, like a Kingdom Hearts 3 or a Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 1. And, you know, and it's like, do they live up to the hype? Some do, some don't. This one absolutely lived up to the hype for me. And that's why I was actually heartbroken when I heard that, you know, the game, quote, underperformed, when all I'm seeing is, like, you know, positive reviews and, you know, the weird release glitch that made Keith buy the game twice for me. I still felt bad about that. But this game was just so beautiful. Like, caring about, you know, Renota and all of them, all the characters. I didn't realize how much I missed this world. Even after playing Final Remix, I didn't realize how much I missed this until I got into Neo. And that's why I'm so fortunate to get to play and so happy that it came. Will we get a third one? I really don't know. And if we don't, I won't truly sad, because we got this one at least, and the fans got what they wanted. Again, the fans got what they wanted, and that makes it all worth it to me. But if you have not played Neo: The World Ends With You, you do not need to play the first one. I do recommend you do, just because you'll get a little bit more out of it, especially with certain returning characters. But even in the face of everything that went on in terms of, you know, making the game and how long it took and wondering whether it'd be good or not, the launch debacle and all that, I cannot wait to play this game again. I'm giving myself time because I want to experience it with as fresh eyes as possible. Well, when I do, I'll know I'll love it the second time just as much as I did the first. And that's why it's my game of the year. So,
I don't want to turn this into the naming conventions episode, but I do think that, again, the name Neo: The World Ends With You is such a terrible name from a marketing perspective. Yeah,
I could see why you say that.
But the original game is on the Switch also, and it's called The World Ends With You Final Remix.
Yeah,
Neo: The World Ends With You sounds like a remake of that game. Like,
true.
It doesn't sound like a sequel. And again, it was the original game was a cult classic.
It was
not like this is a game with a sprawling fan base. Like, it has a very passionate fan base, and it is revered as a game as one of the best DS games. However, you need, if you're trying to get the series to become more mainstream, if you want it to sell well, you have to appeal to a broader audience, and you have to make it clear that what you're selling has to be clear. And I feel that this game, it's not clear what they're selling, and it's not a franchise that's well established enough for people to want to figure it out.
Yeah, no, that I'll agree with. You know, having 14 years between your games, you know, that kind of hurts you at times. But
right.
Yeah, and for the record, I made the Matrix Resurrections joke without remembering that Neo was in the title. Oops. So, but yeah, I mean, there were some things, like, I don't know what I would have called it. Like, I'm the creative guy, but I do not know what I would have called the sequel. So I don't even know why they called it Neo. Like, I really don't. There's no character named Neo. The main character's not Neo, thank God.
I guess, like, the first title that popped my head is The World Ends With You, Next Stage. That would have been, I would say that, The World Ends With You, Next Stage, or something of The World Ends With You, Dead Game, something of Shinigami Games. I don't know. Something
I'm
else after.
The World Ends With You entirely, right? The World Ends With You sounds like a subtitle in and of itself. Like, it sounds like you would have, like, Super Mario, The World Ends With You. And, like,
well, if you really think about it, even back then, that was a reference to, like, you know, the long names of animes. You know, especially the ones we're seeing nowadays. But there is a reason that the game is called that. I do promise you that.
No, I believe that for sure. But I think for the next game, they didn't need to put, I don't know. I feel like it's a title that is very unclear as to what the game actually is or what it's even about. You have no idea.
Regardless, I still love the game, and I do highly recommend it to you all, including you, Tyler, which I will remind you.
Oh, I know
about.
That I will really like this game. I'm excited to play it eventually.
Good. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yeah, we did not have a poll question.
We didn't even talk about it. Like, that was on me last week. I didn't do the Tyler bit for, like, the first time in forever. So yeah, we're not going to do a poll question. There's no point. Let's go. Just go and celebrate your holiday weekend, however you do, or whatever you do. Or if you don't, still have fun this weekend. You deserve it. So, and then next week we're going to be doing our Nintendo year in review: the good, the bad, the ugly. Switch expansion pack. So stay tuned for that, and we'll definitely have a longer podcast next time around. But let us know what is your game of the year pick for Nintendo, and Nintendo alone, Tyler. Ratchet and Clank, gosh. Who do you think you are, Will?
Anyway. Listen, I hit on it, and I moved on.
Uh-huh.
Credit to me.
Uh-huh. I'm just saying that when it comes to knowing our roles, we're a rift apart. Moving on. So, yeah, see what I did there? Yeah, I did that. I did that. I could do more. I could do more. Anyway, but let us know your game of the year picks and what you are already looking forward to for next year. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.